Take your Bible. Let's go over to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 this morning. We'll see if you're all right in a few minutes. As we get to looking at what we want to look at here this morning, it's good to be back with you. I feel like I've been gone for a month rather than not having taught or stood before you in a week. But I'm grateful that we have good folks to be able to step in and to take the pressure and the burden off. It's awesome to be able to have that. And not every church has that. And we are blessed in that way. And I am doubly blessed to have good men and women around me that can take care of those things. I called up Brother Oz last week. He actually called me up and said, when are you going to let me preach? And I said, well, send me a CD and I'll see if you can. So he sent me a CD and I listened to the thing. Called him back and I said, I don't think you're ready yet. And there was silence, and then for a little bit longer, then the latter part of the week he called again and he said, you know, I really think that I'm ready. And I said, well, send me another CD. He did, and I listened to it. Saturday I called him back and said, Brother Oz, I still don't think you're ready. He goes, I'll come for free. I said, I think you're ready. So I'm grateful to him for stepping up and stepping out and coming in and enjoying himself. I know preachers enjoy themselves when they get into the Word and they give out what the Lord's given them. There's nothing better. Nothing more wonderful than that. It may not help nobody, but it helps us. Sometimes that's all it's about is us sharing what's been happening, what's been going through us. And so I'm so grateful, and I appreciate so much the willingness of men and women to step up. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to take a look at a passage here that talks about a Thanksgiving offering. Okay. May need to keep those plates handy for afterwards. We may have an agenda on this one. But this passage talks about a Thanksgiving offering. And I want to dig into it a little bit here today during this season because you know what? It's already started. Everybody and their proverbial dog is out trying to get your money right now. And some are trying harder than others. And so you got folks out there that are calling you and, you know, tweaking this and tweaking your heartstrings and all kinds of things to see if they can't get you money to be able to do what is on their agenda to do. And so I want to talk to you with that as kind of the idea that I have behind this message today that the Lord has shown me. And actually, this all came about after in my own study with one verse out of Hebrews chapter 7, the 8th verse there, and then backtracking from there and coming back this way and then hitting Christmas and all this. So it all kind of goes together and all kind of filters through the same thing. But I'm hoping that it'll help you in your giving over the Christmas season, the holiday season or whatever, that it'll help you with that aspect of it. And then I'll throw in the rest of it for the scholars and all the rest of you in here this morning that have other agendas as well. So we're going to take a look at Thanksgiving offering here and then move through some of those other peripheral things that I just mentioned there as well. Beginning in verse 10 here, we're going to read the next few verses, and I want you to just listen as I go down through here. People are gathered. David wants to build a temple for the Lord, and he's encouraging the people to give. But I want you to notice how. In verse 10 it says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshiped the Lord and the King. You will not find a better passage to state the true heart of a true servant of God. You're not going to find a better picture of it anywhere in Scripture than what you have right here. The heart of the true servant of God is on display here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David blesses the Lord, and he blesses him before the people as they anticipate the temple that will be built, the coming temple of the Lord here. And he blesses the Lord because what we sing about here this morning, what we sang about some, what we talk about, and yet we fail to understand, this is what David blesses the Lord about. We fail to understand it, but he blesses the Lord with his understanding of it. Take a look with me in verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, he says. Riches and honor come of thee. You reign over everything. Verse 14. Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly this way? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Think through that for just a moment. Think through what he just said right there. I bless you, Lord, because what you've given me came from you. It came from you, and I'm giving to you what you gave me. Everything that I have, you gave me, and I'm giving to you what you gave me. How can you like what I'm giving you when it came from you? Verse 15, for we're strangers before thee, sojourners as were all our fathers. You know what that says? That says we're sharecroppers. We're renters, is what we are. We don't own a thing. We're sharecroppers. Everything that we have comes from the landowner. Comes from the one that owns it all. And yet he allows us to take things from what he's provided. He allows us to get sustenance from what he's provided for us. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. We're building you a house, but it all came from you. We're going to build this house, but you provided everything in order to build the house with. You know what? Some here still don't understand that. And as we get further into the message this morning, there's some of you that are going to say, you know, I have not understood that. Some still don't understand this very simple principle that he lays here. Everything that you are, all that you have had, all that you have now, and everything that you will have has been given to or will be given to you by Almighty God. Everything. There's nothing that's not included in everything. Everything that you've had, have, or will have, God has or will give to you. If you don't get that, you're not going to bless God. If you don't get that, you're not going to bless Him. And you won't give thanks to Him except on holidays like this one. When you're reminded that this is a time that you need to be thankful for what God has done for us. You see, if you don't get that whole idea, if you don't get that whole concept, you'll not be a thankful person. You'll not bless the Lord for what comes into your life. David says, I want to do something for you, but all I have to do something for you came from you. I want to bless you. I want to do something, but it all came from you, so I'm not sure. I want you to understand that I understand where it all came from, even though it appears that I'm giving it to you. How many of you daddies have had your youngins go shopping for Christmas presents with your wife for you? And so you paid for the trip and paid for the present that makes its way back under the tree that you open on Christmas morning. Now think about that for a minute. And think about what God is saying through this passage right here. That it's all His. That He gives to us. And everything that we give back to Him is His to begin with. See, the same principle. The same idea. When you lose sight of the fact that God is the source of everything, then it is easy to enter into the sin of rebellion. When you lose sight of the fact that God is the source of everything, then rebellion is right there around the corner. Why? Because you identify as being self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency is the sin of rebellion. It's the sin of pride that God never commends. If you think for a moment that you provided anything to your own well-being that was not given to you by God, may the check engine light of your soul light up and flash yellow this morning. All that you have came from God, and it's on loan to you. Even air is on loan to you. One day it won't be available to you. Hear me? Even that air that God provides is on loan to each and every one of us. There's going to come a day when you won't breathe. There's going to come a day when you won't be able to take a breath anymore. I want you to notice the spirit of this Thanksgiving offering that he's talking about here. There's a spirit that's behind this giving. Take a look down at verse 5, way down below where we started. It said, the gold of for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made with the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? He first points down to a willing heart. Willing in all of that. Go over to verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers, princes, tribes of Israel, and the captain of thousands and hundreds, with the rulers of the king's worth, offered, say it, willingly. They offered willingly Go down to verse 14. Well, go to verse 9. Got a double dose of it in there. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered, say it, because with perfect heart they offered, say it, willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Go to verse 14. Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Go down to verse 17. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, has pleasure in uprightness. Go down to the last verse, the last part of the verse. Have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Verse 18, he talks about the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, our fathers. Keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of the people, and prepare their heart unto thee. You see, there's a spirit that's behind the offering of thanksgiving, or the thanksgiving offering that we have here. Constant complainers, people who chafe against the source, that's really what that is. With a spirit of constant complaining, that's really chafing against the source of all things. If we spend more time complaining than we do giving thanks, then we have missed God in everything. There are moments, there are seasons of negative circumstances in all of our lives. When we allow those seasons of negativity and negative circumstance to cloud or to fill in the gaps between those happenings, then we have lost sight of the source. We have events that are spaced apart in our life. Sometimes we have a season where there's multiple things that happen circumstantially that can be negative things in there. But then there's always a space in between. And those spaces, if we allow those spaces to be lumped in with the circumstances on both ends, and we become constant complainers, then we lose sight of the fact that the source of everything is God Almighty. Thanksgiving is the underlying sense to know that God has been so good to me. That's the big thing that he's trying to get across to us right here. That God has been so good to me. Why do you help put food on somebody else's table during this time of year? Because your table's full. You provide a meal for someone else because you're not missing any meals. And because your source has provided, you want to provide for someone else. Why do we send Christmas presents halfway around the world? To children that we'll never know. To children that will be grateful but will never get a hug from it. Why do we send those presents around the world in that fashion? Because my kids are going to have plenty. God has been so good to me. We give out of an offering of thanksgiving. That's what we do, why we do what we do. Not only this time of year, but others as well. What kind of sacrifice are we making when we give back what we've been given in the first place? Think about it. What kind of sacrifice is it to give back what we've been given? Is that a sacrifice? Is that even the definition of it right there? Giving's a spiritual thing. Money and what we do with money is simply an indicator light. An indicator light of what's going on under the hood. Our money and the way that we go, way that we go about giving or dispersing that, tells what the heart is of the individual that is dispersing. Praise. That's not just a Sunday, Wednesday thing. That when you're prompted or when you're poked, that you praise. Praise is an outward manifestation of an inward recognition that God is my source for everything in this life. That inward compulsion that manifests itself outwardly is also one of the prime things that we need to consider as we look at giving. There are right ways and wrong ways to give. Money is a tattletale on the heart. It'll tell on you. It's an indicator of what's taking place deep inside. And if coldness and misunderstanding of who our source is our way of operating, then our giving is going to tell on that. Let me segue from here over into the last book of the New Testament for just a moment, and let me hit there as we're talking about a Thanksgiving offering, Malachi, book of Malachi. Taking a look at the third chapter here, this will not be a surprising piece of scripture this morning. You've all heard it, all seen it before. Didn't think you'd see it at Thanksgiving, did you? Malachi chapter 3, looking at verse 8. Take what we've looked at and learned so far, and the ideas that we have so far, and let's move and build on that for just a moment. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Answer, in tithes and offerings. Here we have the people of God gathered. This is basically a church service that we have in Malachi. Priests are there. God's there. Everything is, everyone is here, and there is a give and a take that's taking place. Israel has moved away from Almighty God. They are in dire straits because of their rebellion, the sin of rebellion that is running rampant at this point. And God is having a discourse here and sharing why these things are coming to pass and why these things are going the way that they are. Then we go down to verse 9. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. He's saying every one of you, all of you have done it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. God has two ways to advance His kingdom, and I'm talking about financially now. And what He's laid out here are those two ways. Two ways that God advances His kingdom financially, and they are called tithes and offerings. The first of those is called a tithe. The tithe simply means what? The tenth. Tithe means tenth. Over and over through Scripture, even from the beginning book of the Scriptures here, over and over, God demands that something be held back for Him. From the beginning forward, He demands that something be held back for Himself. All the way back in the garden, He said, all of these trees you may freely eat of. You may partake of all of these trees except one. And that one ye shall not eat of. That one you shall not partake of. That one is mine. Even before the law, God demanded that something not be touched. Why? Because it's not yours. All right? It's not yours. It belongs to Him. In Deuteronomy, we move forward and we see in the book of Deuteronomy that the first, he talks about the first tenth of grain, talks about the first tenth of cattle, talks about the first tenth of fruit, and says, that's to be mine. He says, don't touch that. Don't touch that. He says, that's the first fruits. You understand first fruits, right? First fruits is the first of the fruit. It's not the last of the fruit. It's the first of the fruit, the first that comes in. The first tenth that comes through, not the last tenth. Not after you've got your 90, then you give your tenth. It's the first fruit, the first part of the tenth, the first part of the tithe that comes through. Why? Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23 tells us why. Important verse right here. You could go over there and circle this one. Put you a reference to Malachi chapter 3. Put you a reference to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And it'll help you in your own personal Thompson chain reference that you build here this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks. Why? That thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. This goes back to the idea that we talked about in 29, 1 Chronicles. This idea of fearing the Lord is the idea of trusting the Lord. This idea of fear the Lord and trust the Lord is the idea of Him being your source. Ultimately and singularly your source. Anything that is not, that you have outsourced from Almighty God is an abomination to the Lord. You are to fear Him, trust Him. He is to be your source, Him and Him alone. That's why that verse is important right there. Learn to fear the Lord thy God always. That they would recognize who owned Him. They recognize who owned them. You recognize who owns you when you give Him the first tenth of everything. You see where we're going now? You recognize who owns you when you give Him the first tenth of everything. Not what you have left over, but when you give Him the first that comes through. Fear of God. Trust of God. What that begs is the question here. Do you take God seriously? Do you take Him seriously here this morning? Do you recognize any rule over your life that all you have comes from God and God alone? And do you trust Him in that way? Fear of God is synonymous with the trust of God. Do you believe that if you place God first in your life, that He has your back? Huh? If you put God first in your life, do you believe that He has your back? Any Christian, I'm going to make a statement that's going to anger you. Any Christian that does not tithe does not trust the Lord. Fear equals trust. Any Christian, that does not tithe does not trust God. You do not believe that God has your back, is what you're saying. Only 20% of Christians tithe. The average Christian gives less than 3%. That means that a majority of Christians don't trust God. When we don't trust God, we rob God. And that's where Malachi comes in. Faith always involves an action. Look it up. Faith always involves an action, not a talk about an action. It always involves an action of some sort. Anybody who doesn't tithe, doesn't trust God, and already some of you are lining up here this morning, and you're saying, you're just trying to get my money. You're trying to set me up here this morning. This is a setup type of sermon. You're setting us up so that we feel compelled to have to give something. No, remember what 1 Chronicles 29 said? If your heart isn't willing, it doesn't count with the Lord anyway. Huh? So I'm not trying to set you up. I'm trying to inform you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to move you to a place where you and God can be simpatico, where you and God can come to the place of understanding who the source is and who is not. That's what I'm trying to help you with here this morning. If your heart isn't willing, it doesn't count with God anyway about what you do or where you put it. You're just after my money. You ever say that at the grocery store? They're just after my money. Huh? You don't ever stand up there in front of the line in the HEB and say, y'all are just after my money. Why do you not say that? Because they have something you need. You don't get what you need out of there, you're not going to live. You need what they have in order to live your life. So you're not going to stand up and crow about them just wanting your money or needing your money or whatever else, because what they need, what they have, you need to live. And you will pay for what you need to live, will you not? Well, certainly you will. Let me remind you this. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Now in Malachi, why did God say to make sure the storehouse was filled? Storehouse is the temple. Why does he say to make sure that the storehouse is filled? Well, there are three purposes of the temple as given there. Number one, make sure that the priests who are to spiritually feed the people were taken care of. That's number one. The second reason that there were these things were to be brought into the storehouse was to make sure that the legitimate needs of the people were met. And the third reason to bring things into the storehouse was to help the stranger or to help the alien, those that were outside of the household of faith, to be able to be helped. And in that order is the way that things go. This is also the same order that we use in things that we do here with our benevolence ministries. Number one and first and foremost is to make sure that the house of God and the things of God here are taken care of. Secondly, that the people and the needs of the people. And then thirdly, if there's anything left over, then we tend to those that are outside the household of faith. And these are the three stated reasons for the temple and the storehouse, things to be brought into the storehouse. God tells the people that his storehouse is empty. There's the condemnation that he gives in this passage. He says, the storehouse is empty, yet yours is full. The storehouse here is empty, but yours at home is full. Great condemnation. The conclusion that we draw from that, you're robbing me, God says. When my storehouse is empty and yours is full, you are robbing me. So, as a result of you robbing me as a nation, he says, the windows of heaven are shut. The windows are shut because you're robbing. Open windows mean that God grants access to heaven. Closed windows says you're robbing me, and there is a consequence for that action. By the way, as we have talked a little bit about tithe here for just a few moments here, tithing was required under the law. But let me say this to you, that tithing preceded the law and tithing continues after the law. I get a lot of folks telling me that tithing is not a New Testament principle. And I have to tell you that there's a Greek term for that, and it's called baloney. That tithing did not exist after the law. There's a passage over here in Hebrews chapter 7 that I mentioned just a little bit earlier there that does away with that argument. It does completely away with the argument that you would have there. Tithing was required under the law. It also preceded the law, and it continues after the law. It's not just a law thing. It's not just an Old Testament thing. Remember a fellow by the name of Melchizedek? He was a priest prior to the law. He had no father. He had no mother, according to what Scripture says about this priest, Melchizedek. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And he gave them to him before the law was even enacted. What's that got to do with the church? Well, Hebrews chapter 7. You ought to flip over and read that. The entirety of Hebrews chapter 7 in the aspect of the tithing portion of that. I mean, there's so much more in there. But read it afresh with fresh new eyes with an eye towards the tithing portion of the whole thing. So what's that got to do with the church? Hebrews 7 says that Jesus is after the order of Melchizedek. Tithing is alive and well in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 8. Let me see if I can find that because I want you to hear it. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. And it says, "And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth." It says that he receives them. Not that he received them and is done, but that he receives them. Present tense and ongoing. Present and ongoing, of whom it is witness that he lives. So the implication here is that as long as he lives, he's going to be receiving tithes. And who's the he? That's Jesus. That's Jesus, who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek that is being talked about right there. So you can take the Melchizedek priesthood, and you can take the Jesus priesthood, and you can match those up, and you can knock out, if you want to, the Old Testament. You can knock out the law part of that, but these two are connected from the beginning to the end over here, and as long as he lives, and as far as I know, that's going to be a while. Huh? And so the connection is there from Melchizedek, and after that order came Jesus and the order in that, and so the tithe is moving forward. The tithe is still working, even in this day and in this age. That priesthood demands a tithe. That's one way that God advances his kingdom, through tithing. The second way that he advances his kingdom financially is through the offering, which he also mentions there. What a willing heart gives beyond what is required. That's the offering. God decides the tithe. The individual decides the offering. In addition to what I've already done, I want to do more. In addition to what has already been given, I am able and have a desire and am willing, with a willing heart, to do more above and beyond what has been expected of me. That's the offering. Let's clear something up here this morning. An offering is not an offering until the tithe has been made. Now, that might seem simple, and it is. An offering is not an offering until the tithe has been put in place. You can't go above and beyond what you have not met. So the offering takes up where the requirements leave off. You don't have to give an offering. It's not required. An offering is given out of the overflow of a heart that gets it, that gets that everything I have, everything that I will have, comes from God. That's where the offering comes from. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about blessing. Blessing. It says that if, with a willing heart, and we recognize that God is our source, that we would, with that willing heart and with that grateful heart, that we would give as God has blessed and moved through us those resources that He has allowed to come through our hands. If we will do that, He says that there will be an open window in heaven. That open window in heaven talks about access to the heavenlies. God didn't give access to His house to those that are going to rip Him off. Okay? He's not going to give you the keys to the house if He's going to have to worry about you ripping Him off. Open window means open access to the heavens, and God desires for that to take place. There's another piece of this blessing as well. God giving you access to heaven is a blessing. The second piece of that is that He says that He will rebuke the devourer. A rebuking of the devourer for those that give thanksgiving with thanksgiving hearts. He'll rebuke the devourer. How many times has Pac-Man come through your life? Huh? The Pac-Man of mechanics. And the Pac-Man of repair. That has come through and devoured things in your life. Have you ever thought about that? That God, when we're being obedient with a willing heart, trusting Him, understanding that He's the source of everything, He says that I will rebuke that devourer. I'll rebuke him off of your life. I will keep him off of the things that I am moving through your hands. And the third part of the blessing says that I'll make you a delightsome land. A delightsome land. What that means is that others will be able to see the blessing of God on your life. Why? Because you'll be vocal about it, and because it'll change your countenance, it'll change your attitude about everything. That's where delight and the delight and the desire and the joy comes from in our life. Understanding that God is the source, that we have access to Him, that He is taking care of the things that are coming against me, and I'm praising Him because I trust Him, because I fear Him, because He's everything. Proverbs 10 and 22 talks about having the blessings of God come upon you so that you're able to enjoy it. It's enjoying the blessings of God when they come upon you. When He is your source, when He is everything, you will enjoy the blessings of everyday life, even to the smallest thing. A new house isn't a blessing unless you enjoy going home. A blessing is more than the thing. A blessing is the delight that you have because you enjoy the thing that God gave you. The delight comes from knowing where it came from. And then that delight becomes a testimony to let others know that you know where it all comes from. Blessed by God? How come His name never comes up? Spiritual theft is a big deal. Say, I don't believe in Old Testament giving. No, you believe in New Testament robbery. Well, you don't know my debt. You don't know the debts that I have and the things that would have to be taken care of and how all of these things are working. You don't know the debt that I have. Sounds like you need help. Maybe you've been delaying the wrong creditor in your life. Think about that this morning. God wants wants to be your source. He wants to be the source of everything. And for us not to recognize that is not to trust Him in these things. Now, I said that I would try to help you this morning, and I hope that through some of the principles that I laid out here, that you'd see that there is help in what I've just shared. That there is help here. If 80% in here are not tithers, according to the national figures, if 80% of the folks in this room are not tithers, and we've already said that if you don't tithe, that you're not trusting God, and then we've said also that there are things that come to those that would be obedient in that fashion with a willing heart, not begrudgingly, but with a willing heart, that the windows of heaven would be opened, that the devourer would be rebuked, and that you would become a delightful testimony to all those that are around you, would it not follow that there is a right way and a wrong way to go about this whole process? There is help in that one statement. There is help in that one concept, in that one idea right there. Help in that. The other part of this is that everybody's got their hand out. What happens so many times this year is that we divert funds from what we know to be right to things that we talk ourselves into. So we divert things from our source to where self-sufficiency takes over. And folks, that's rebellion. And God is not pleased with the rebellion that we see that is self-serving. So we need to be very careful that we keep things in line, that we keep things in its proper perspective, in its proper place as we move through this season. Remember that an offering can't take place until you've met the minimum requirements, the minimum requirements that God lays out through His Word. Take care of the things that are required, and then as you have opportunity to do good to all men, do so above and beyond there. Keep it balanced, keep it right, and remember your source. And when it comes to be January, then you won't have to be that one that'll be sitting around in that 80% pile of folks that are kicking yourself and beating yourself up because you didn't trust the source during this time of year. So there it is, some simple things and some simple helps. And if you'll take those and use them for the way that they're intended to help you, not to hurt you. Listen, I don't need your money. You hear me? God didn't need your money. This place doesn't need your money. You need to give it. And that's the big difference with the whole thing. The need is on you, not on God. Let's stand together for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You would make us a delightsome land. Lord, that we might, as a unit, as a body, Lord God, be reminded to the point of action, Lord God, that You are our source for everything. Help us not to live beyond our means. Lord, we need to live within Your means. I ask You, Father, that You might impress upon us the right way and the wrong way to move forward with the things that with this great indicator of what our heart is about, Lord, with the way that we use the dollar. Help it to help the process to be something that would be pleasing, not only to You, but also a testimony, Lord God, to those that are around us. God, we have so far to come in this area. So far to come. And Lord, I know that many that have experienced the blessings, that have understood, that have followed the process, God, of those folks, they don't go back. They don't go back to doing it their own way. Lord, once an individual sees and understands that you're the source and begins to work things the way that you have laid out for us, Lord, there's no going back. There's nothing to go back to. And so I pray, God, that you'd help more and more, 80% more of your people to come to grips, to come to terms, Lord, with the fact that you're everything. And I mean everything. Everything in our lives. So, Lord, I just ask you, Father, just to have your way. Lord, cement in the principles that we have flown over this morning. And God, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if somebody really wanted to get in there and dig around and study real hard on it. Father, I'm just giving a summary. You know that. Lord, the deeper somebody gets, the more they get. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help people to dig into what I've laid out this morning, to dig in hard. Lord, we tell you that we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your provision for us. Thank you for loaning us the air that we need. We are grateful for it. So now we commit the remainder of our day and our way to you. And pray, God, that you'd be blessed. And doubly blessed as you see people get it today. Help us get it, for we pray it in Jesus' name.